scriptures, but continue in the Christian armor series. And tonight we're going to be looking at the fourth message, and I've entitled it Above All. And we're going to look at a couple of scriptures. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16 will be our text verse, but I want you to turn to Mark chapter 4 and verse 40. Mark chapter 4 and verse 40, and we'll have a look at that scripture. The Bible says there in Mark chapter 4 and verse 40, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" And this evening, we're going to look at the shield of faith. And the shield of faith, it has one purpose. And that one purpose is to protect the soldier from the arrows of the enemy which were shot at him. The first three pieces of armor that we looked at help secure the soldier in battle, the truth being our preparedness, our breastplate to guard our heart and our vital organs, our feet are to be shod with the gospel, and that's to have a firm footing, if you will. Now the Bible talks about the shield. The Roman shield was large, usually about 4 feet by 2 feet, made of two layers of wood and covered with tough leather. The shield was almost like a door. By crouching behind it, the soldier could hide himself completely. It protected his entire body. As the soldier held it before him, it protected him from spears and arrows and the fiery darts. Now, when we read about the fiery darts of the devil in the Word of God, what exactly is that talking about? Well, a fiery dart is just an arrow that has been dipped in pitch or some other flammable substance and is lit aflame and is shot into the bodies of the enemy soldiers. And as you can imagine, a fiery dart is a lot more painful than a regular arrow would be. In many cases, not only would it cause injury, but it would cause severe burning as well. The Bible here in our text, as we'll see in a minute, talks about the wicked, the fiery darts of the wicked. The wicked here refers to that wicked one or Satan himself. Therefore, the fiery darts have reference to Satan's fiery and piercing suggestive arrows, which Satan shoots into our minds or our thinking process. They are fiery suggestions of anger and pride, lust, jealousy, and all kinds of wickedness. We must remember that Satan's desire and plan is to control our mind. And when we are not protected from his fiery darts, we then become vulnerable to allow these flaming suggestions to ignite a fire of sin. Other fiery darts that Satan sometimes pulls out of his quiver are the flaming arrows of problems such as sickness and financial loss, broken relationships. He also shoots fear, depression, doubt, and self-pity into our hearts. If the believer does not have a strong line of defense, he will fall in the battlefield, and fear is a very common arrow that the devil throws at us continually. We have fear. We can have fear ignite in our heart by what someone says to us or by a change in the circumstances of our life. And I'll be the first to admit that there has been times when certain things have changed, certain circumstances in my life have changed, and there's a certain amount of fear as to what is going to happen as a result of that change. One thing, and I've preached this many times, one thing that we don't like as human beings is change. And we you know, the older we get, you know, we just want to keep everything, you know, the way it is. And there are certain things, by the way, that should never change. Amen. We looked at truth this morning. Truth should never change. The doctrines of the Bible never change. I have heard stories about some of the craziest reasons that people have left churches and split churches and all kinds of stuff. And most of it has to do with change. And again, we're not talking about change in doctrine or or worship style. I know a church that lost I don't know how many members because the pastor decided that there were some candles up on the altar, up on the platform that just were outdated, and it was time to change and move them out. And old guy come up to him afterwards and said, "Those candles have been there, obviously not lit. You know, there might have been candle holders, but they've been up there since I was a boy." Well, that probably is a good indication that they need to be changed. Amen. And you know, change. And some things in life change. And when things change, it can bring about fear. What's going to happen now that those candlesticks aren't there anymore? People are going to leave. People aren't going to come anymore. It's going to change everything. Well, you know, don't worry about it. Don't be fearful about certain things that may have changed in your life or certain things that are different. And don't get on the panic mode, if you will, when things change. Many times the devil uses those flaming arrows of fear to get into our life, and we become afraid. We lose faith in the Lord's ability to help us during those times and during those struggles and during those trials and during those changes in life. We must remember that fear and faith cannot exist in the same heart. They can't. Jesus reminds the disciples of this when he said to them, while they were crossing the stormy sea, while it was tumultuous and they thought they were going to perish, Jesus was saying to his disciples, basically, can't you trust me to take care of you? Why have you got so little faith? Where is your faith? Why do you have no faith? Yeah, the storm's raging. Yeah, the water is coming into the boat. And things have changed. And circumstances around us seem to be gaining victory over us. And Jesus said those simple words. Why are you so fearful? Have you no faith? And when life begins to start swamping us and the boat's filling up and all of those things, that's when we've got to realize that faith cannot exist alongside of fear. Do we or do we not believe what Jesus Christ has said he will do? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all, and I want you to notice this, all the fiery darts of the wicked. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight, and as we continue into this message, Lord, I pray that we would have a greater understanding of what it means to have that shield of faith there. What it means in our Christian life and in the battle that we face every day. So God, open our eyes of understanding tonight and help us in whatever situation we may be in, just have faith that God, you are on the throne and you are able to take care of us. So Father, for your glory, would you bless? We'll thank you, we'll praise you in Christ's name, and amen. Satan, one of, again, the greatest arrows, fiery arrows that he throws into our life is doubt. And when we go back again to the original sin, when we go back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, it was doubt that was put into the mind of Eve. As Satan came along and said, does he really mean what he says? Will you really die if you eat of that fruit? Because I've got some news for you. You know, he's holding back on you. And again, I'm paraphrasing. Does God really know what he's doing? And that's what doubt is. Doubting God is basically saying, you know what? I don't think, God, that you know best. I'm not sure if your plan is the best plan. You know, as leaders and as people, you know, we do make sometimes wrong decisions. Everybody is going to make a wrong decision. Go the wrong way. Get lost once in a while. You know, driving down the road. We all do those things. And sometimes we think that maybe God, we can fit him in that category as well, that sometimes he's going to take us down the wrong road, or maybe sometimes he's going to take us in the wrong direction. And so we somehow seem to lose confidence, and we begin to doubt God's ability to be that controlling factor in our life. And when we do that, certainly living without God can bring about fear. We really ask sometimes, is God's word really true? Can God help us? And when we start asking questions like this, then we must understand that the flaming arrow of doubt has penetrated our spiritual soul. It's gotten by the shield of faith. The old serpent tries to send those fiery arrows of confusion into our life as well. When our thinking and emotional lives become full of confusion, and we can be sure that Satan may be sending a fiery arrow into our lives. We know that God is not the author of confusion, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 33. Therefore, it may be very well, it may be that the devil, the master of confusion, is trying to get at our lives when we become twisted in our spiritual thinking and when our emotions are directed in a way that lead us away from the Lord and the right path to walk on. There are all kinds of fiery arrows that Satan shoots in our direction without any warning. And these arrows of fear and doubt and confusion and all of these things about evil desires and even thoughts about giving up on church, giving up on Christ, giving up on everything, whatever it may be. The evil one, the devil, is throwing them at us every day. And the only way that we will be able to withstand these fiery darts is with the shield of faith. The shield of faith. And the Bible says that above all, taking the shield of faith. Listen, we've already looked at three parts of the Christian armor. And I would say they're all pretty important. We've looked at three very important parts of the truth and the breastplate and having our feet shod with the gospel. We would say truth is pretty important, amen. We would say the gospel is pretty important, and we would look at all of these things and say they're important. But the Bible here says that above all, first and foremost, we should be taking the shield of faith. It is the most important part of the Christian's defense. You see, we can have the truth, but if we don't have faith, we don't have anything. We can have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, but if we don't have faith, we don't have anything. You see, faith is a shield. And if we stop for a moment and consider this, it is a shield. If we have faith in God, it is a wall of protection against doubt, and against fear, and against confusion, and against all of these things. Because when we have faith in God, when we put our faith in God and believe Him at His Word, doubt can't get in. Fear can't get in. It's going to be stopped before the secondary armor, the breastplate, and all of the other things that we have. Those are secondary next to that shield of faith. If they get past that shield of faith, we do have those other protections. But that shield of faith is above all. That idea as well of being above all means it's the first defense. It's the first defense. Don't leave home without faith, folks. Don't allow the devil to bring doubt into your mind. The faith here is mentioned, that's mentioned here, is not the saving faith necessarily, but practical, living, everyday faith. Day-to-day trust in God for the major things of life. We must have faith in God's person. We must have faith in God's person. We can look at several scriptures here. Let's have a look at Psalms chapter 3. Psalms chapter 3. And and verse 1 to 4. The Bible says, Lord, and by the way, this was a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for thee in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art the shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cry unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. You know, David had the idea and understanding that God was his shield. You know what David's saying there? You know, the rest of the world, the unsaved world, is saying, listen, there's no hope in God. There's no faith in God. God can't do anything for you. You know what they're trying to do? Those are the fiery darts of doubt. Those are the fiery darts of fear and confusion. When the world is saying, listen, God can't help you. Don't believe that He can help you. But David said, I know, I am convinced that God is my help. He's helped me before and He's going to continue to help me. He was his shield, he was his glory, and the lifter up of his head. Abraham was another man of possessing great faith in God's person. God was a shield of protection to his life. And he possessed great faith, believing, according to the scriptures, that he was able, that God was able to raise up his son. You know, it's not every day that a father can take his child up into a mountain, tie him up, and bring a knife down and bury it into his chest. But Abraham was willing to do that because he had faith in God that God would be able to raise him up from the dead. I remember I had somebody tell me once, I was doing Bible study with him, and he says, well, I don't know if I can believe the Bible because, you know, all those accounts in the Bible because I don't believe that God would ask Abraham to kill his own son. His own son, his special promised son that was born of like miraculously. And I said, doesn't that sound like another story? And he said, what do you mean? I said, wasn't it God the Father that sent his miraculously born son into the world and that he slayed him and rose him from the dead? You believe that one, don't you? Well, yeah. I said, well, that was a picture of what God was going to do. He was just giving us a little indication that there was going to be a day when he was going to sacrifice his own son for the sins of the world. And Abraham had enough faith to do something that maybe, yeah, it is hard to understand, but if you have faith, you know, God, if you've said it, I'm going to do it. We got to have faith in God's providence as well. And we've seen a little about God's providence this morning. The shield of faith is the kind of faith that realizes that everything is working together in one's life according to God's ordained plan. When we think about God's providence, we've got to understand that He is sovereign and God has a plan and God has a purpose. And you know, there are some times in life that we don't understand why God has taken us down certain paths. We don't understand why God has chosen certain afflictions for us and maybe why God has given us a burden in life or something. But we've got to realize that it is all part of God's ordained plan. And faith is simply believing that, you know what, God, I don't understand why I'm going through this. I don't understand why you've brought me in this direction. I don't understand why that trial's come into my life, but I understand that you're in control. Faith puts trust in God's plan and purpose. And I can go back to Abraham. And we can look at Abraham and say, God, Why did you take him down such a thorny path? We can go back to Joseph and we can say, God, why did you take him down such a thorny path? You know, none of us have had such a miserable existence as Joseph had. Where Joseph was sold by his own brothers. First they wanted to kill him, then they sold him for peanuts. And then he gets set up, and then he gets thrown in jail, and then he gets forgotten. And years later, God's purpose and plan is finally revealed in his life. But all during that plan, all during those trials, all during all of the things that he went through in life, we don't find Joseph ever once complaining or walking around defeated or having doubts or having moments of unbelief or saying, God, why? Why have you done this to me? Why have you brought me here? And David's another example. Why? God brought him down such a thorny path. God, you've ordained me. You've anointed me to be king. And I'm running around hunted like a wild animal from a man that I have done nothing to, a man that I have served, a man that I have built his ministry and won victories for him. And God, why are you doing this to me? And David trusted God. He understood that God had a plan. F.B. Myers said this, Unbelief puts our circumstances between us and God, but faith puts God between us and our circumstances. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. That's our own plans, our own ways, our own ideas, the road or the path that we think we should be on. But the Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. That's acknowledging his will and his providence and his sovereign plan for your life. And he shall direct thy path. He's going to show us his will. And he's going to show us the way. And don't fret, you know, maybe because you're not where you want to be. You know, sometimes, and I should say sometimes, maybe we're all in the place where we could say, you know what, I'm not where I want to be. I would rather have more in life. I would rather have a better job. I'd rather have a bigger house. I'd rather have this. I would rather have that. I'd rather have my furnace working. And we just got to say, listen, God, you're working it out. You're working it out. The plan for my life. And I'm just going to accept, God, your plan. You've got the steering wheel. The problem is, when we take the wheel, we're liable to drive off the cliff. When descending the Grand Canyon, oftentimes a person has to travel on narrow ledges that have only enough room for a mule to get a foothold. The ribbons of rock that run along the edges of these towering cliffs overlooking vertical valleys that descend hundreds of feet to the valley below. When one must make use of these stony paths, the safest course is simply to let the mule find his own way. For the slightest touch on the bridle may easily throw both the animal and the rider over the cliff, and certainly to sudden death. So it is in the believer's life in some circumstances. If he would keep himself from having sinful doubts and falling into despair, he must lay the bridle on the neck of faith and commit his way to God. Even as the rider must by faith trust in the mule to direct him through this canyon, no matter how bad things look, he may take comfort in these words that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will see you through the Grand Canyon in your own life. And in such trying experiences, the only thing to do is to trust God and to walk by faith, not by sight, and realize that God is in control. Amen? Don't try to steer your way out of the things that you maybe don't like. Because maybe God has got you there for a reason. Just let go. Let God direct your path. And ultimately, that is what faith is. Faith is just trust. Trust God to be where you God wants you to be and how God wants you to be there. And you know, God has a will for everyone's life. And it's God who should be governing and directing that life. Certainly, when somebody is on the path that God has for them, we've got to learn just to allow God to do what He is doing. Sometimes, again, we may not understand in our own lives, we may not understand in other people's lives what God is doing. Why are they doing that? Well, maybe they're just following God's will. God has a purpose and a plan. And I like the illustration now, again, going back to that wacko neighbor that we had years ago. I had all kinds of people telling me things like, you know, get a baseball bat, go over there and hit a home run. You know, do this, go over there and slash his tires, or go over there and, you know, whatever it may be. Guys saying, well, I know what I would do. I'd do this, I'd do that. Well, I'm just going to do what God wants me to do and follow His will and His way and His plan. And, you know, certainly, again, at the time, and that's just one trial, maybe others have experienced similar things, but at the time, I'm going, why in the world is God doing this? We've just been saved, and we're trying to follow God's will, and I'm trying to prepare for the ministry. That was the clincher right there. God is preparing for the ministry, because when you get into the ministry, you're setting yourself up for the fiery darts of the devil. Bible preaching pastor, I don't know too many of them that are real popular. And I could have followed a number of people's advice. You know, I could have taken things into my own hands, but I had to come to the place where I just believe that God has brought us here in this situation for a reason. I didn't know what the reason was at the time. Don't know what God was doing. And you know, as I mentioned, we all can say that God maybe has brought us through trials like that, and situations and problems and all of these different things. And our tendency is to just try to grab the reins and start steering. And wait, God's going to take us in the direction that He wants us to be in. And let God take control. And we've got to also have faith in God's promises. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10, please. Romans chapter 10. And we'll read verse 17. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing. And listen to this, hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. Both saving faith and practical faith for the Christian life is generated by the promises of God. And I'm going to say that again. Both saving faith and practical faith for the Christian life, they are generated by the promises of God. And I'm going to ask you this question this evening. Where do we find the promises of God? In the book. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, if you're not in the book, you can't have the faith. You cannot have the faith. You might be standing on the church premises, but not standing on God's promises. There needs to be an everyday practical faith or trust in the promises of God's word so that we can have victory over the devil. And this is part of our faith as well. Faith in just believing that God is going to do what He says He's going to do. I was thinking this afternoon again about that, the Handel's Messiah, and talking about singing so powerfully that He's going to reign forever and forever. And I'm thinking in my mind again, as I'm thinking about these words, that Christ is going to reign forever and ever. And you know, that's a promise of God. That's a promise that God has given us. And I'm telling you, I can't wait for that day. Amen. Wouldn't it be nice to have a government that's headed by the Lord Jesus Christ? Benign, loving, and righteous. We've got to realize that that is a promise that will someday come to fruition, that He is going to reign forever and ever. And today, brothers and sisters, He can reign in the hearts of believers. And He does rule and reign in the hearts of believers. But we still need to be standing on the promises of God. It's the Scriptures. It's the Word of God. And listen, I've done counseling with people. I did counseling some years ago with an individual that had some problems of walking through stores and things ending up in his pocket. Well, what do you do? Well, tell his parents to give him a good beating, and then I gave him a list of Scripture verses to memorize. Scripture verses. You know, the Bible is the answer to faith and victory. It's the answer to overcoming the fiery darts of the devil. The devil tempts us with fear or anger or whatever may come our way. It is the Scriptures that are going to win the victory. The Word of God is the key to faith. Scripture memorization, memorizing things, dealing with whatever you're being attacked with. Get into the Word of God. Get into the book. Memorize it. Find verses dealing with anger. If you have problems with anger. Other scriptures that are dealing with the devil's defeat over our lives are important to memorize as well. What did Christ do when He was attacked by the fiery darts of the devil? What did He use? Scripture. Yea, hath God said. God has said it, and that settles it. Did He believe those Scriptures? Obviously. Did He believe what those Scriptures meant? Obviously. Do we believe the Word of God? Do we believe the Scriptures? D.L. Moody, we think about him being the great evangelist, but for many years, D.L. Moody struggled to have faith. In every turn, it seemed to elude him. And then he read the Scripture that we just looked at, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And he stopped praying for faith. And that's what he was doing for years. He was praying for faith. He stopped praying and spent more time in the Scriptures. Memorizing, reading. And the more time that he spent in God's Word, the greater his faith became. And he was able to ward off the fiery darts of the devil. You see, our faith is generated by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Grown, born. It's the source of. The more you read, the more you study the Bible, the greater your faith in God and the promises of His Word will become. When Satan tempts you to worry or to become depressed in life, you must place faith in those promises that can give you the victory over these things. And we can look at Psalms chapter 55, verses 22, or 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. And when Satan tempts you to be full of bitterness or resentment, then you must read those verses that deal with that subject. We can look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. And by faith, claim those verses. When Satan tempts you to be angry, you could look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. God's Word acts like a pump which transports faith straight to your heart. And therefore, we can overcome the devil. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 119, verse 11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Why? Why did this psalmist memorize the Word of God? Because he said, that I might not sin against Thee. as the promises and instructions of God's word are pulled from the bank of our memory and believed to be true, then we can strengthen that shield of faith and find protection from the devil. Whatever temptation Satan shoots your way, you can counteract it by placing your faith in the commands and the promises of God's word. And when you do this, you will avoid being overcome of the devil. You can't extinguish a fiery arrow of the devil by any other means than the shield of faith, the promises and pleas of the Bible. After all, the Bible is the water of the Word. Amen? And it quenches those fiery darts. Satan shoots these fiery darts at our hearts and at our minds, such as lies and evil thoughts and hateful thoughts about others and doubts and burning desires for sin. But if we do not by faith quench these darts, they will light a fire within and we will disobey God. One of the things that we need to understand is that we can never know when those fiery darts are coming. And one of the most important things that we've got to understand is we can never let down our guard. We think sometimes we're in a place of safety. You know, certainly God isn't going to fire any while we're in church. Certainly God isn't going to fire any when we're at home. Nice, safe, you know, little place to be in. But Satan, he's wily, he's wise, and he has wisdom, and he knows exactly when to fire them. Therefore, we must always be prepared with faith to overcome at all times and at every moment. To sum it all up, without the shield of faith in God's power, God's providence, and God's promises, we're helpless against him. We're helpless. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. Satan is ever trying to destroy your faith. He's trying to destroy your faith. Satan tries to attack our faith through all his darts and everything he can do, and that's why we cannot let down that shield. We've got to keep it up. Keep it up. Could you imagine a soldier in a battle? When the battle is raging and the soldiers are attacking and the swords are raised and the arrows are coming and the battle is raging hot and a soldier just decides for a few moments to put down his shield. How long is he going to last? Well, it's no different for a Christian either. A Christian that lets down his shield of faith in God's person and his power and his provision and his providence and his promises, Satan has his bow drawn and he's ready to shoot us with his arrows. And we see when he sees that we're not relying on the Lord and his word, when we don't have his word hidden in our heart, when we don't have the word of God to rely on, to build our faith and to strengthen our faith, we're simply easy targets. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 3, Jesus said, O thou of little faith. And he says, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why did you doubt? Unquestionably, we've all probably had moments of doubt about God and what God is doing in our life or whatever it may be. Satan is going to do that. He's going to fire those darts. Faith is a victory. Faith is the victory. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 it says, For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith is a victory. We sing it. But do we mean it? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. And again, Lord, I'm grateful that you've given us all of the tools to overcome in this world. And our greatest tool, our greatest victory in our Christian life is our faith. Precious faith. It is the victory that overcometh the world. And Lord God, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would work in our hearts tonight. That we would have seen the opportunity to increase our faith through the reading and the memorizing and the believing in God's Word. Help us not only to be prayer warriors, but to be so into the Word of God that it would become part of us. And Father, as we have this altar call tonight, would you work in hearts, strengthen our faith, and help us to always and ever hold high that shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the devil. We'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we have a closing song.